Take a moment to make note of the fact, in case those of you may not have noticed, we are a commissioner short this evening, which leaves us with four commissioners. The legal requirement is that we have to have at least three. And commissioners who are absent do have the ability to listen to the recorded hearing, review everything in the file, and can still vote on an application even if they're not present. So I just wanted to let you know that that's what the situation is. And our first public hearing this evening is
Binford.
Yeah, let me get there. There we go. Is subdivision 2021-36 Winford Preserve, formerly known as Prettyman Road Development LLC. And Madam Vice Chairman, I'm going to abstain from participation in this hearing. I turn the gavel over to you, and I'll see you when you're done.
This is a cluster subdivision to divide 50.5 acres plus or minus into 100 single-family lots to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County. The property is lying on the south side of Prettyman Road, which is Sussex County Route 254, approximately 0.87 mile northwest of Lewis Georgetown Highway, which is Route 9. The tax parcel ID is District 235, Map 29, Parcel 25, and the zoning district is AR1, Agricultural Residential Zoning District. Submitted into the record, Madam Chair, we have a copy of the plus comments, the applicant's preliminary subdivision plat, a copy of the staff analysis, a copy of the applicant's exhibit booklet, including the Chapter 99-9C response. We have a copy of TAC comments, including comments on the Division of Watershed Stewardship, Sussex County Engineering, US Fish and Wildlife. We also have a copy of the applicant's traffic impact study and the DLDOT response to this. We also have a copy of the environmental assessment and public facility evaluation report. I would note we have received two written comments, one of which appears to be in opposition. Thank you.
Okay, you are up.
Thank you. Good afternoon, commissioners and Director Whitehouse, Council Robertson, and members of the public. My name is Mackenzie Pete, for the record, and I'm an attorney at Baird Mandalas Brockstead, Federico, and Cordea. And I'm here on behalf of Prettyman Road Development LLC for the development of Winford Preserve. Present with me today and this afternoon, not this evening, are Stan Aldridge, Senior Manager for Land Development and Acquisitions of Insight, Brett Magnum, Director for Land Development Acquisitions, and Jamie Seckler, PE with Davis Bowen and Friedel. The applicant submitted its exhibit booklet for your consideration that has been before the commission for at least 10 days. I'm also going to submit a proposed conditions of approval into the record now that I will discuss during my presentation. There are some conditions that are very much so unique to this application after some conversations that the developer has had with neighbors. And I want to go through that so that the commission's aware of that. And I know that some of those neighbors are here today to speak as well to be sure that those conditions are incorporated into the record and hopefully a preliminary plan approval. So as always, I will provide a brief overview of the project, discuss the project's compliance with the AR1 cluster development requirements of Municipal Code Section 115-25E and Section 115-25F, and Municipal Code Section 99-9C, and the plan's consistency, and conformity with the comprehensive development plan. So the applicant proposes, if I could get the aerial maps up, that would be helpful. So the applicant proposes Winford Preserve. It was formerly known as Prettyman Road Development, and it's a cluster subdivision to subdivide the property that's shown on the screen. It's 50.50 acres, more or less, into 100 single-family homes. Of the acres, a portion will be devoted to lots, and a portion will be devoted to streets, with 49% of the parcel to be devoted to open space, subject to final site engineering. The proposed cluster development is superior in design to a standard subdivision, as the project proposes significant amounts of open space, landscape buffers, some of which are in excess of the 30-foot requirement, as I'll discuss, and a stormwater management system that will act as an amenity and natural companion to the natural features on site. This plan also provides for amenities, which include a pool and bathhouse and sidewalks on both sides of the roadways that will connect to the proposed multimodal path. The project, as you can see on the screen, is located on the south side of Prettyman Road within the Broadkill 100 in Georgetown, Delaware, and identified as tax map parcel number 235-29-25. And that property is located near other residential developments, including Azalea Woods, Weston Willows, Silver Oaks, Deerwood, Beaver Dam Estates, and Hawthorne, which is the adjacent community here where interconnection has been proposed. Commissioner Stevenson, and I'll address that as well. So this is a low-density area per the comprehensive land use plan and within investment level 4 of the state strategies for policies and spending map. The concept plan for this community was presented to PLUS on May 26, 2021, and a response letter was subsequently provided by DBF on February 22, 2022. The parcel is specifically located in AR1 Agricultural Residential, and all proposed structures will comply with the height, area, and bulk requirements of the code for cluster subdivisions with central sewer. The project also complies with section 115-19 by proposing a low-density single-family residential development that protects water resources, watersheds, forested areas, and scenic views. The project complies with Chapter 115-25E of the AR1 District design requirements for cluster developments for the reasons included in the project reference material prepared by DBF. The project also complies with Chapter 115-25F for a cluster development. Specifically, the proposed lots and amenities are located within environmentally suitable portions of the property. The developer intends to keep the small existing wooded area on site, and there are no wetlands on site. The open space provided meets the official definition of open space and is in excess of the 30% requirement proposed at 49%, more or less. Wetlands, as I stated, are not on site, and stormwater will be handled on site and will meet current state and local requirements. In terms of the 99-9C requirements, the plan integrates and the proposed subdivision into existing terrain and surrounding landscape. As discussed, the proposed subdivision lies within the AR1 district near other residential developments. There is an exhibit in your packet that shows other surrounding communities nearby. It proposes significant open space in excess of the code, preserves the existing wooded areas, and provides a minimum 30-foot landscape buffer with a 40-foot landscape buffer proposed between the site and then nearby residential developments. And if I could switch back to the plan itself that was previously up, I can show you where the 40-foot landscape buffer is actually proposed. And you'll notice that in the condition, proposed condition G, we've provided specific language to confirm where that 40-foot buffer should be located. So it would be located the 40-foot along this entire area. And the draft condition references the relevant parcel numbers. The area where the buffer will be 30-foot will consist along the remainder portion, and all of that is clear in the draft condition G. And that was specifically incorporated as one of the requirements that the neighbors were seeking. There are no wetlands on site, as I stated, and there are no known sites that require historic preservation on site. The plan also preserves large tracts of open space and preserves scenic views, as previously mentioned. There'll be a minimization of tree, vegetation, and soil removal and grade changes. Efforts will be made to preserve existing vegetation that's on site and within the buffers and open space areas of the subdivision. Where that's not possible, of course, the vegetation would be supplemented to meet county buffer requirements. Screening of objectionable features from neighboring properties will also be provided by the proposed landscape buffers. The neighbors and the developers have also discussed the potential for installation of dirt berms as well that could be landscaped. And condition H specifically addresses that. It states dirt berms shall be installed to the maximum degree permitted by applicable agencies and vegetated in a manner consistent with best husbandry practices. And the reason we drafted that is so that we can make sure that we install dirt berms in accordance with obviously Sussex Conservation District. We also want to make sure they're installed at a time and vegetated in a manner so that the vegetation actually survives. All of that is important to the viability of actually having these dirt berms in place. Water will be provided by artesian, as evidenced in the will serve letter included in the booklet, and wastewater will also be provided by artesian. Stormwater management and sediment erosion control plans will be prepared for review and approval by Sussex Conservation District. The stormwater management facilities will be designed in accordance with Delaware and county standards. The proposed development is also planned in a way to minimize erosion and sedimentation, changes in groundwater levels, increased rates of runoff, potential for flooding, and design of drainage so that groundwater recharge is maximized. The site's not located in an area of excellent groundwater recharge. However, there's a small portion of the property within a wellhead protection area. Also, bringing up the issue that I know is in the record, according to DENREC's Division of Waste and Hazardous Substances, the project overlies an active groundwater contamination investigation that's been conducted by DENREC's Division of Waste and Hazardous Substance Remediation Section. And this is an issue that the neighbors are particularly concerned with, and I know they'll speak to today, especially as it relates to the neighboring property at Hawthorne. And if there are any questions that come up as a result of that testimony, our team's here to answer those questions. So Insight, the applicant, engaged Brightfields Inc. to perform a phase one environmental site assessment of the site, and the purpose and scope of that ESA was to identify existing and potential releases of hazardous substances on or around the site, to inquire into previous ownership and uses of the property, and to identify other recognized environmental conditions on the site. So that assessment concluded that the site historically consisted, this particular site, of vegetated wooded areas and then farmland. And it also stated and confirmed that the investigation by DENREC was specifically concerned at first with the homestead campground site that's across the street. So just to summarize a very long report, back in 2005, TCE, a hazardous substance, was discovered in the main supply well to the homestead campground. That's the campground across the street. And then at that time, DENREC stepped in for an emergency well installation to provide non-impacted potable water to that site. And then DENREC recommended a site inspection, and in May 2006, DENREC conducted an inspection of the campground based on a concern that substances found at the campground would actually migrate off-site. And so as such, DENREC monitors the surrounding areas, and as I stated, there is some particular concern about the adjacent Hawthorne community wells that have been installed. There's existing agricultural wells, and there was an irrigation well installed there. I want to be clear, though, for this project, and we did address this in a condition as well, and specifically condition N, that the developer will comply with DENREC's requirements as it develops the site. And in the proposed conditions of approval, you'll find that that condition N states that irrigation wells shall only be installed in accordance with DENREC requirements. And that is the developer's intention and something that we've proffered. Moving on, the plan accounts for safe vehicular and pedestrian movement within the site and to adjacent ways. Entrance to the site shall be designed per current DLDOT standards. The entrance to the community as well as the pedestrian pathways will be reviewed and approved by DLDOT. And the plan, as I mentioned, proposes interconnectivity to the adjacent Hawthorne community, as you can see on the plan here. It's anticipated that the proposed subdivision will cause current property values to remain the same, if not increase, values of other properties in the area. This proposed subdivision will not significantly impact agricultural land, as the aerial maps reflect. There's no active farming practices in the immediate vicinity. There's nearby residential developments. The project will be reviewed and approved by DLDOT. McCormick Taylor completed a review of this development's TIS prepared by DBF in February of 2022. And based on that review, they recommended the realignment of Prettyman Road north of Route 9 to address the skewed angle of that intersection. So they'll square up that intersection. The developer will be responsible for making an equitable share contribution towards that improvement. The developer will also be responsible for frontage and turn lane improvements. The developer is also required, as I stated, to have an interconnection with Hawthorne. That was a requirement that came from DLDOT that's been provided. The project, as I've stated, is compatible with other land uses in the area with a number of residential communities nearby, and there will be an efficient stormwater management system that acts as an amenity, and runoff will be treated for water quality and quantity prior to discharge. And finally, the plan's consistent with the comprehensive plan for the reasons that are stated in the exhibit packet specifically that was prepared by DBF. In conclusion, Winford Preserve will enhance the area with a well-designed plan, amenities, and limited impacts to the total site area. The design preserves large amounts of open space. The homes will have a neutral to positive impact on the property values in the surrounding communities, as well as generate additional revenue for the county. Passive amenities include areas of open space, and active amenities include the proposed pool and clubhouse. The proposed community of Winford Preserve meets the standards set forth by the county and state and will provide a superior living environment for future residents. I'll end my presentation and answer any questions that you may have.
Okay, we'll see if anybody has any. We'll start with Ms. Wingate. Do you have any?
Just a couple. So the amenities is over by the open space. Is that what that section is that has the parking in front of it?
That's correct. And there actually is an exhibit included in the packet as well.
Oh, I'm sorry, I missed that. Okay.
But yes, to answer your question.
Okay. I noted you have multimodal improvements mm-hmm. in your proposed conditions. Are you going to have one? It doesn't look like there's enough space between the homes and the fence. And is there one proposed?
There is one proposed. I'll let the engineer speak to that specifically.
I'm just curious what mm-hmm. the distance is from the homes at the entranceway, because there's a fence that's there. What that distance is that within the limits of what it's allowed to be? It looks like they're sitting right on top of the road almost.
Jamie Seckler.
Good afternoon, sorry. Jamie Seckler, Davis Bone and Friedel. There's currently about 50 feet, and on the plan, which is PL3, there's actually the right-of-way, which is additional right-of-way given up for Prettyman Road, and there's also a 15-foot PE there, which the shared use and multi-use path will fit in inside that PE to the right-of-way. If you're seeing on sheet PL3 okay. of the packet. And then you also have an additional roughly about 30 feet to the rear lot lines. There might be 40 feet there.
All right. Well, while you're up here, the dirt berm she was mentioning, where is the intention for the dirt berm?
So the portion where she mentioned from here behind the adjacent neighbors.
You're going to have dirt berms all along that area?
Yeah. When we met with all the neighbors, they requested, instead of the 30-foot landscape buffer, to do a 40-foot landscape buffer. And depending on grading, we're going to try and achieve 5 feet, but depending on certain grades and area, we may, anywhere between 3 and 5 feet, we're going to attempt to do a berm where possible based on grading and the way certain features
drain. But the intention
drain.
Is to put it all along the area you just showed?
That is correct.
Okay. The chemicals that you were referring to, are there studies being done on your site? I'm a little confused. Or is it from the camp?
So there are studies. My understanding of the issue is that there were studies on the campground. There's a permanent well there. And the neighbors actually can speak specifically to this issue. They've been studying this issue, I think, since 2018, 2019 with DENREC. But there's also, there was a monitoring well on Hawthorne development specifically. And then any approved irrigation well, even if that even becomes a consideration, would have to be obviously permitted by DENREC.
That's a standard, yeah.
Correct, yes. So there's not any active test site on this property, to my knowledge.
Okay, so you haven't really found anything on your...
That's correct, and we had the ESA performed okay. as well.
Okay, that's all I have for Neil.
Mr. Atkins?
So it's a concern with regard to the water. What is the concern about the water?
There's a contamination site across the street at the campground, and there's concern and evidence that there could be basically movement of that plume, the TCE plume, to adjacent properties. And that's why everything has to be monitored with DENREC, which it would be anyways. It's just an issue that was noted specifically in PLUS that the neighbors are understandably concerned with, and why we've put into the record and proffered a condition that to confirm what would already happen, that we would have to install any irrigation well in accordance with DENREC's requirements and standards.
I'm just pleased to see that there's a way out the back of Hawthorne.
Yes.
I think that's great. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's it. That Route 9, getting onto Route 9 out in the front of Hawthorne is, it's just, it, who knows, maybe, mm-hmm. maybe some lives will be saved before it's over because it's just so crazy out there in the summer. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad to see that there's a way out the back. And that, and Pretty Road's a good road to get on, I think, mm-hmm. Because they can always get back around to the red light on 30, or the traffic's slowing down a whole lot more mm-hmm. up at Route 9 up on the other end.
At the intersection.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So that's good.
Mm-hmm. Are you finished?
I'm done.
I just have another couple questions about the TCE.
Okay.
Since, I mean, yeah, you don't want it in your drinking water, but it can get in through basements, pipes, things like that. So will there be monitoring on the system, or how is that going to be to see if that even comes into the area?
So the plume itself is my understanding, and I can have Jamie speak to it directly, but I believe that it's extremely, extremely deep and beneath where you would actually
be digging.
So the plume where the actual contamination is a deeper aquifer. And the actual irrigation wells are higher up. And so the actual irrigation well that's on this property now is shallow enough that there's not an issue. Where it comes into an issue is like on the wells at Hawthorne, where if you extract too much water is where the contamination kind of expands, which is why they're monitoring it to make sure that doesn't happen, which is why, you know, but all of the water, the drinking water, et cetera, from artesian, so will not be drawn from that plume at all.
Right,
but
right.
There will be continuing monitoring from DENREC.
Okay, yeah. As my concern, yeah, I don't want, you know, 20 years from now, everybody in this development has liver cancer, and mm-hmm. you know that's on me. So, all right. Thank you, Mr. Robertson. You have any questions?
No, thanks. I don't.
No, for me, thank you.
Staff.
Thank you.
All right. Well, let's see if anybody else has anything to say about your application.
Thank you.
Is there anyone here who would like to speak in favor of, let's see, application 2021-36, Winford Preserve? In favor. Is there anybody who would like to speak in opposition to this application? Come on up. Need you to give me your name and where you live, and
sure.
Then you've got the floor.
Let me do it. Thank you very much. My name's Scott Sipe. I reside at 19114 Old Woods Drive, actually, to point out. I am right there. So I'd like to start off by saying thank you. Good afternoon. Thank you for your time. I want to start off by at least stating and pointing out that right now, even before the approval of this development, we already have 1,000 homes that are already approved within 1 mile of this area already. So there's a lot of, I know I heard about the traffic in 9, but we have a lot of traffic already in Pretty Monroe. It is a lot of big trucks, a lot of traffic, a lot of problems on the road. I also want to mention also reviewing the packet, Exhibit 7 of Winford Preserve Packet, the letter from the State Planning Coordination dated June 25th, 2021. The letter states clearly that the proposed development would be located in Area of Investment Level 4 per the 2021 strategy for state policies and spending. Investment Level 4 state spending supports agriculture preservation, natural resource protection, and the continuation of rural nature of the areas. As made quite clear, the state has no intention of investing monies in improving services and infrastructure that's already, again, with all these 1,000 homes and more coming, are going to be just overwhelmed, needed to accommodate not only the current approved developments, but Winford Preserve as well. State has made it clear the proposed development is inappropriate, along with an inefficient and wasteful use of state fiscal resources. Winford Preserve not only added to the unforeseen negative ramifications associated with continued overdevelopment in this area of Georgetown. Also want to clarify, there was a response from Davis Bowen and Friedel about the referencing a Hawthorne subdivision and Homestead Campgrounds being two larger residential projects. Actually, the Homestead Campgrounds is only open through actually in spring, summer. They actually closed down through the fall and through into early spring, and everybody removes their campers and RVs. Now, my concern is also tubing the area. If they decide one day to open year-round, then this plan needs to consider the fact that now we have that overburden as well from everybody there. So with that being said, I also want to mention too, while I'm here, again, we're right here. When we were first presented with this proposal, this was supposed to be a tot lot, which I was certainly fine with. Now all of a sudden, I now have a pool behind me, with no doubt is going to provide some noise and everything else. I don't know how late this will be open, but anyways, it's going to provide noise That again, that being right here, I certainly, when I purchased the property, I certainly expect to have a pool behind me for that. So again, I understood maybe one day there would be an opportunity to develop the property, but I just don't see this as, at least from that point, the pool being the proper spot in this development. It again affects all the neighbors beside myself as well. So beyond that, that's all I have. Again, thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Is there anybody else that would like to speak in opposition to this application? Come on up.
John Lingo, 24877 Lewis Georgetown Highway. I own property adjacent to the proposed development. I want to recover. There were proposed conditions of approval that just became available to adjacent property owners today. We had requested these proposed conditions of approval be available to us a week ago. So it's just, I had prepared some comments that are partially addressed in these proposed conditions of approval, but I'd like to go ahead and
go for it. Yeah, I mean, we just got the conditions of approval too, so.
Yeah. Yep. September 13, we had a meeting at one of the model homes in Hawthorne, attended by several owners of property adjoining the proposed Wentford Preserve subdivision and representatives of Insight and its subcontractors. I want to thank Dave and Eileen Hall, residents of an adjoining property of Prettyman Road, for the time and energy they've contributed over the past year or more in bringing the various parties together to work toward a mutually acceptable solution. Several specific agreements were reached at this September 13 meeting. One of the topics was street lighting. I see that the proposed conditions of approval M, as in Mary, street lighting system provide downward direction. I hope that's adopted as a condition of approval. That's what we agreed to at the meeting, downward facing street lighting. Another topic of discussion was the buffer zone. Property owner of an adjoining parcel questioned why a 50-foot buffer was required for the Hawthorne subdivision, but only a 30-foot buffer was proposed for Wentford Preserve. Let's see, I'm referring to an email summary of that September 13 meeting. I'll read from that summary. You don't have that here. It was summarizing the meeting between the property owners and Insight representatives. The buffer zone around the Prettyman development property was originally proposed to be a width of 30 feet. Adjoining property owners requested the buffer zone be expanded to 50 feet. Insight has agreed to increase the buffer zone to 40 feet. So we compromised. They said 30, we said 50, okay, 40. But then there was a letter from Davis Bowen Friedel, November 1st, to Jamie Whitehouse. Item number one says 40 feet landscape buffer between site and lots along Prettyman Road, page one. On page two, however, the 40 foot landscape buffer, all adjoining properties, is used and not just the Prettyman Road lots. So I see the proposed site plan incorporates that 40 feet in all the adjoining areas, even the vacant parcel 135-1167-68. That's my parcel. So all along that back,
but
and that's
that is
great.
Referenced in the proposed conditions.
Yes.
I just checked.
So I hope that is adopted as a condition for approval. However, there were more specifics concerning those berms that were discussed at the September 13 meeting that are not incorporated in the proposed conditions of approval. And I would like to submit those additional specifications. The adjoining neighbor's consensus was that the buffer zone should include a clean fill dirt berms besides just being flat, filled with trees and bushes, as originally submitted by Insight. Insight has agreed to make this change. Insight has agreed to put in dirt berms that will be 3.5 to 5 feet tall, each berm about 100 feet long, space between the berms to allow for any drainage. Berms will be started at the beginning of the development, with much of the dirt being taken from the existing field as developed for the community. Insight will still put the required trees and bushes per Sussex County regulations in the 40-foot buffer zone. The neighbors had originally suggested a fence or a line of year-round foliage bushes to be put at the top of the berm. to address the site and sound privacy concerns. Insight has agreed to install arborvitae bushes at the peak of the dirt berm that will fill in as they grow to provide a complete barrier between the community and the existing neighbor properties. The trees, bushes, arborvitae bushes will be planted by Insight in the first fall following the installation of the berms. So this is an effort to require screening before the home construction. So the berms go in, the trees are planted in the first fall before the construction, insulating the development from the neighboring properties. Insight reps noted that the changes to the buffer zone would be noted in some way, written or in the schematic for the filing to be used at Sussex County Planning and Zoning session. So the proposed conditions of approval speak to dirt berms. Item H, they do not provide this level of detail. There are words spoken earlier that indicate we're going to try, but I would think that would be inadequate to satisfy the expectations of the property owners attending the September 13 meeting. Ultimately, there will be other agencies and perhaps requests to change conditions of approval. But I would ask that any change to the site plan discussed today that diminishes in any way the screening aspect of the buffers, berms, and landscaping described here, that being 3.5 to 5 feet tall, 100 feet long, arborvitae at the peak, planted prior to construction of homes, all those aspects would trigger a new public hearing or similar forum where the property owners would have an opportunity to speak either in support or opposition to the change. So I know this public forum is great to propose a site plan, but there are other agencies that do review the site plan subsequent to this meeting, and I believe the property owners are entitled to know, somehow, be informed of changes to the conditions of approval that may be recommended by other reviewers that would water down or minimize, reduce the screening aspect of these buffers.
What was it? Where's your lot again? I'm sorry, where are you?
I own the property south of this. I have 75 acres. It's wooded.
Oh, you've got all that, okay.
Yeah.
All right, gotcha. I was looking at the little lots. No, okay, sorry.
That was all I had, thank you.
Would you like to put those, I mean, you read your remarks. Did you want to put them into the record as you wrote them, or do you just want to use what you said?
The comments from the September 13th meeting you were referring to?
Yes, and a copy of that email summarizing the discussion at the September 13th meeting. Be glad to.
Sure.
Submit
those. Yep.
Okay.
So did you actually discuss where you wanted berms put with the people, with them?
The 40-foot buffer proposed around the perimeter would be the location for those berms.
They want it included in the entire.
Oh, okay. As part of the 40-foot buffer, yeah. It would be berms. Gotcha.
Yes.
Okay.
We started talking about fences to screen, but then fences, maintenance, problems. So the idea of berms was raised, and that was something that was accepted by adjoining property owners as an alternative to the fencing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. His point was that he would write the word try taken out, and because they had the discussion of getting 3 to 5 feet of berms, and he just wants to make sure that it's not something they try to do, but they get it done. Somehow.
Sounds like that was consensus of your group that they expect it to be done based on your meeting.
Yes. My only question is actually for maybe you. Is that something that has to be approved by
soil
water
conservation?
Soil conservation, yeah. And so, okay. But that, all right.
So I'm saying if soil conservation says no, that can't be done, property owners would appreciate an opportunity to come up with a different solution.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Oh, here we go. Yes.
Hi, I'm Dave Hall, and I reside at 25236 Prettyman Road. So if you look at the map, and along Prettyman Road, if you go the fourth house over, or I'm sorry, the third property over, right there, that's where we're located. Yeah. So I did have, honestly, I'm in agreement with this whole thing going forward, but we obviously have some of these qualifications here tonight that we want to work through the final details.
Yeah, these guys, now is the time to bring it up.
Yeah. These guys have been great at Insight and DBF and all that, and willing to work with us. So I'm going to give you, there's only one copy of this, but this is the 2012 report by the contractor the state of Delaware Denrick Group used, and this was the extensive study. I'm the guy here to talk about the 800-pound gorilla that you know so much about with the TCE plume. So I'm going to provide that, so that's there and available so people can see. And then this two-page thing, it'll be easy for you to understand what I'm describing as we go through that. So. Okay, our home borders the Winford Preserve Development Project. I've spent the last year working with the Insight representatives, Sussex County Planning and Zoning, DelDOT, and DENREC to understand the scope of this land use application and the surrounding area. I'm grateful to all of those who have assisted me. Working with these agencies, I served as the point person for the adjoining neighbors. This function served to forward any questions, concerns that they had, getting answers, and in communicating information related to this land use application. I'm here today to talk about a major issue that we have with what I referred to before as this 800-pound gorilla that we've got in the room. And I think there's some real simple solutions. It's just there's a timing problem here right now with what's going on. If you look at, does everyone have the map in front of them?
Mm-hmm.
What this map represents on the front page, right now, DENREC has identified the TCE plume starts to emanate from the south side of Route 9 on the east side of 30 now, but they have not yet, and this is where the head of the plume is, but they haven't completed their investigation. What they've told me is in the spring, they're jumping over to the west side of 30, where those other ponds are, and where the DelDOT maintenance facility resides. The application actually refers to the groundwater contamination. Young lady did a great job in explaining the whole TCE thing and all that from a standpoint of what's going on. DENREC has known about the problem since 2005, as she noted, when a well was randomly tested by the Delaware Department of Public Health in the Homestead campground. They found a 425 per billion reading in a well that was unfortunately being used for public consumption there. And for those of you familiar with the EPA standards, the standard is above 5. It's very unhealthy for you. So DENREC was brought in, as she said, and from 2006 to 2011, DENREC was doing different monitorings, doing some borings and all that. Now, the Veatch and Black report that I gave to Jamie Whitehouse was basically when the most formal study was done. And out of that study, if you go to the second page, you will see all of the tests that were done. So basically, this group put in 4 permanent wells, and there was a number of borings. And if you do take the time to go back to the VMB report, there's another chart in there that actually shows that this plume actually goes all the way up to route, almost to Route 5 north of Harbison. So this thing goes on for the better part of a mile and a half, 2 miles. So at some point in time, a huge amount of TCE got spilled into the ground. So we get to after the discovery and B&V was brought in, and what you can see from this thing is the various readings that goes on. So the issue at hand is from the ponds to the east of Route 30, the other side of 9, this runs up through the homestead campground that exists now. Where it says farm field is what we're looking at tonight as being Winford Preserve. And then it went up into homestead campground. Now, in 2007, Denrec had been doing testing and monitoring this plume site on their own from 2012 to 2017. And if you look at this map, you see it looks like a black target area, and it's defined on the legend of the second map as monitoring wells. There's three wells that are right together that are in where the homestead campground site is now. Those three wells were voluntarily abandoned by Denrec with the idea that this development was being built, but they also knew that four, and I think there's a possibility of a fifth irrigation well being put into Hawthorne to support the needs, that Denrec was going to be given access to those wells so that they could continue testing. Unfortunately, what's happened over the past 5+ years, there's been no testing, even though three of those four existing wells were put in 2017. They've never been retrofitted for a testing port so that they can continue the testing. And secondly, and I'm getting my information from Patrick Bosher, who is the Denrec project manager that's overseeing this site. I think there was some communication issues at Denrec because there's two or three different departments involved. The one that speaks to the developer and that, because Patrick had made it real clear that the pumps are oversized that are on the irrigation wells, and they can pump much more out of the aquifers than they want to see pumped to the point, and we know that aquifers don't magically fill up with water again when you pull the water out. So the concern was you'd have a collapse or whatever that could ultimately negatively impact this TCE. So I'm not sure that the well meters have been agreed to yet, but there was a well allocation or an allocation water permit that Denrec in 2021 gave to Insight with the idea is install these meters too, because we want to make sure you're not taking too much water out of the ground. That hasn't been done yet. Now, I apologize for the delay because I'm trying not to repeat what was said here. Now, as Jamie, the young lady, said, I'm sorry, your name again?
Mackenzie.
The issue is the TCE is under the ground. This isn't a surface thing. TCE is a bottom dweller. It goes through the sand, goes through the soil, and basically once it gets down to the bottom of a water source, it stays there. So we're looking at different places where it's at here, where it can be 40, 80, 100 feet under the ground. Now the problem is it doesn't, the good news is for the shallower wells that are in the area, and these guys drilled 40 to 50 foot wells, so it should not be down and all that. And I understand that when you guys had the wells drilled, I'm sorry. When Insight had the wells drilled, there was actually guidance provided by Denrec up front as to where to put them. So yes, the four wells that have been drilled were put outside of the plume, so they would not be directly pulling from the plume, at least as far as where we think the plume is now. So now, the issue with this piece of land, if you go back to the second page and you look at the different testing numbers, The test on the land where the homes are going to be built was 15 to 1,540 parts per billion, which is three or over 300 times the acceptable amount of TCE before it starts causing human health concerns. And to your point, Ms. Stevenson, in regards to the whole concern is similar to other issues that have happened up in Newcastle County with the one of the top five EPA waste sites that we had there. We had adjoining homes where the stuff was getting into the basements and they had to install ventilation systems so that these people weren't breathing in these toxic fumes. TCE isn't quite as bad as what that is, but it does do very, very bad stuff to your system. You mentioned it does all sorts of cancers, has neurological, lung, kidney, and heart issues. Long-term exposure to it contributes to Parkinson's disease, much more serious lymphatic. So it's a very, very, you know, one might read what was in that thing and say, well, it's just the nitrates, because we know down here in agricultural land, which this is, that the nitrates are always there because it's in the fertilizers that are used. But and nitrates, not to minimize it, has health concerns, but not nearly like TCE does. So where we're at right now, we haven't had none of this testing. Testing basically stopped in 2017. With the six permanent wells, we know the three were abandoned and the access wasn't given. One of the InSite representatives here had identified a pile that was on the Prettyman site, and sometime before they acquired the property in 2021, it appears, whether it was the previous farmer or it was vandalized, because the well was in a pile now. So we know at least that the fourth well doesn't exist anymore. Now there is, if you look at the map, on the west side of the property in question, there is another monitoring well that's going to be over by Dr. Kumar's property and his wife. He's a cardiologist at Beebe. I think she's an anesthesiologist there. And we're hoping that's there. And as I was telling the InSite representatives this evening, there's an agricultural well by that first house on Prettyman Road right there that Patrick was saying would be usable for the testing as well, for what's going on here. So why is the testing so important? There's a concern, tens of millions of pounds of houses, brick foundation, slabs, the road, the infrastructure in Hawthorne, you know, you're talking almost a million pounds of cars. We don't have, I come from Newcastle County originally, and we had Blue Rock Granite up there. We don't have that down here. I'm an old Hartley boy, too, from Kent County, and it's all sand, and it's all soil. There is nothing under there besides the clay as a hard surface until you go much, much further down. So the issue is the concern that the weight that's going on here, and to make sure that we haven't taken excessive water out of the aquifers, that because either one of those could have led to a collapse. Now, aquifers are just underground rivers. Rivers, just like they do on top of the ground, can move any way they want. And the concern is that we get the monitoring started again. And the good news is, I mean, I had tried for the past year to get InSite to agree to get this going again, because I first became aware of this problem when we first bought our house in 2018. And we had done just safety precautions to see what was in the area and all that, and found that this existed here. But I wasn't successful in getting the wells reestablished from a standpoint of the testing. Now, to their benefit, just before Christmas, I had heard back from them, and they said, yes, we're going to do something in the spring and get these wells retrofitted so that the testing can begin again. And my understanding is that Patrick did speak with one of the InSite representatives the end of last week with the intent that the wells are going to get retrofitted and we can move ahead with that whole thing as well. So in closing, I think truly what we have here is a timing issue from the standpoint of approval with this, because the concern is that I'm asking the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission to delay its decision on the development of this lot, and the reason being is that I think for everyone's, the welfare and safety of the community, and it's everyone, it's Hawthorne, it would be the new people going in here, it's the adjoining neighbors, that the commencement of the testing start again. But the real issue, and speaking with Patrick as well, and I explained how they were going to investigate the head of the plume further to see if they could actually identify who the culprit was. I mean, there was an old asphalt plant down there that was abandoned on the east side. The maintenance yard is there. May not be them at all. They don't really know yet. But they do think that we'll hope that the plume hasn't moved from the weight issues on it. That would be great. If it didn't and we just have to monitor going forward, fine. But then Patrick kind of hit me with a sledgehammer too and said that there's still the possibility, if nothing has happened, that remediation of the site might be required. Now they think that they could potentially do remediation from the head of the plume. I mean, they do things like activated carbon, they use bacteria to neutralize this. There's all sorts of different options that the EPA has put out there where they can deal with this sort of problem. Some of them require actually bringing TCE has a half-life of only 7 days when it's in the air. So it oxidizes pretty quickly. The problem is when it's gotten into the water like this, it almost becomes a forever chemical, because in the medium, it doesn't lose its toxicity. It just stays there. So another option is you can actually spray, but then you have to obviously control how you're spraying it and exposing it to the air, because you don't want the vapors getting around. In a remediation like that, you might have to do the remediation along the whole thing. But kind of getting ahead of ourselves here, the real issue is we really need to know if the area is still safe, because the plume is running from south to north, goes through this property, and at this juncture, we don't know for the past 5 years what the development in the area has had on that. So again, respectfully ask that you consider what's been submitted to you, we delay it. Hey, we're looking forward to the development being built because we think it's going to add value to the community. We just need to make sure that everybody's going to be safe here as this whole thing.
I just have one question for you.
Sure.
Step away. So are you saying that it's not a requirement by DENREC to continue the testing? It's up to the property owner to consent to do that?
Oh, no. No, this is an active investigation, an active DENREC site. And they're required to do the testing.
How come they haven't been testing for so many years then?
You would have to pose that question to DENREC. I can't.
They probably will.
I can't respond to that one for you.
Thank you.
How deep did you say the plume is?
It goes from 35 on this paperwork up to 90, or down to 90.
Yeah, it can be 110. There's again, in that report that I go over there where there was borings to the north of Homestead. It was found at different things. What you'll find in that report is once they got down to a certain level, they started testing every 10 feet, and there's some very interesting charts in there that shows when you start to see the toxicity perk up under the ground there. So
and your this is a question. Your concern and desire for it to be delayed is because of homeowners who would want to put an irrigation well in their yard, and it would potentially pull the plume.
Well, I don't know if you guys are going to offer an irrigation option in there. It's already in Hawthorne. Right now, DENREC has said no, but again, with the commitments, you could put the irrigation, but it's not up to the property owner, it's the developer that's going to decide whether an irrigation, a sprinkler system is put in.
But what's the concern for you? Your concern is
The concern is that the TCE is getting out of the ground through accidentally the aquifer changing. For example, I have a 5.5-acre property up in Newark, Delaware, and it's beautiful farmland and all that, and there's an underground aquifer on it, and magically at one end of the property, guess what? The aquifer comes right to the top of the ground. So.
We are living in a swamp. We all know that.
So if the wells were didn't exceed the 35 foot or 32 or 30 feet, would that make a difference?
It does from a standpoint of getting down deep in the toxicity, but also what Patrick told me, that when they test these four wells, even though they were put outside of the perimeter, and presuming that the plume has not moved or shifted in any way, they still may find enough toxicity at TCE that they'll require carbon-activated filter systems to be put on the existing Hawthorne's system. They just, at this point, we don't know.
All right, yeah, that's, okay.
So are you a retired chemist?
No, I'm a person that researches a lot. And
you've done your homework.
I used to be I was a guy that worked for a lot of Fortune 500 companies, and I investigated bad people. So, so I'm
different
very,
type of toxins.
And these are not bad guys. These guys have been really good and working. But I looked into
just curious.
Yeah, you have a methodical thought process.
I do, because I was an auditor. So yeah.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Great. Anyone else? Going once. Going twice? Okay. Should we go online first, or
I just want to put another document into the record. It summarizes the conversations that were just referenced in part, the most recent conversations with DENREC, that Patrick Botcher and Mr. Hall, just concerning the present situation at Hawthorne, which is obviously separate but understandably related to this application, and then. The specific paragraph that I think really needs to get into the record is that for future development, and this is from DENREC, he states, and I'll speak as him, and he says, I have said that I would not allow wells above the plume. I want the developer to plan accordingly. There is an irrigation well on the property, being Prettyman Development, that has the ability to irrigate the entire property and avoid the TCE plume, and that's coming from DENREC. And he states that wells should be installed on the eastern portion of the property. So I understand Mr. Hall's concerns, but I just want to be sure that this document's also submitted into the record.
Did you say that he said that he would not allow wells above?
Above the plume. The TCE plume on the Prettyman Development site.
Well, I don't understand that. If it's above the plume and you're pulling water.
He's not allowing that. DENREC would not allow
that. Oh, in the plume area.
Above the plume area, yes.
The plume area.
Yes.
Yeah, I got you.
It sounds like it's back. I get it. Yeah.
Thank you.
The irrigation well, that's the agricultural irrigation well that's there, right? Is that what we're talking about? The center pivot right.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right. Operator, do we have any callers on the line?
If there is anyone on the line in favor of or in opposition to this application, please dial 5-star. We have Ann on the line. Ann, the line is open.
Hello, this is Anne LaFleur. I'm an employee of Sussex County, and I'm calling in this evening to test the line.
We hear you loud and clear. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Operators, is there anyone else?
At this time, there's currently no one else on the line.
Okay. Anybody have any other? This is one of those where we just got the letter that we saw from DENREC. Should we ask just to another, how old is that letter? Do we need to get a more recent comment from this guy about what we should be looking for in this place?
January 4th.
January 4th of this year.
Okay, so it looks like DENREC is looking on this and, okay, that was the only thing I was considering holding the record open for was information from DENREC, but if we've got it. Okay, anybody else?
Nope, thank you.
Then I will close the public hearing. We invite you to stay with us for the rest of the evening. And. we'll see if we rule on it, but we won't, anyway.